You're listening to the Passion Church Podcast. We believe that today's message will help you thrive in your relationship with Jesus as you follow Him. We'll be back after the podcast with more information. And now, today's message from Pastor Aaron Kozlowski, right here at Passion Church.
Amen, amen. Well, it is such a privilege to be with you today. I got in last night, like just before midnight. I was gone all week on a God trip, and I was just spending, I just spent the week with God. I was praying and just spending time with Him, and it was an awesome, awesome week. I want to show you where I was. I didn't take that picture, but my pictures look like that. they really do. I just didn't have a chance to get them off my phone this morning as I was making my PowerPoint, and it was so beautiful, and just an amazing, amazing week. And I want to talk to you today about breakthrough before the battle. I want to talk to you today about breakthrough before the battle. See, that sounds backwards, doesn't it? It sounds counterintuitive. Well, you got a battle, and then after the battle, you go, yay, I have breakthrough. But this morning, I want to talk to you about breakthrough before the battle. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is already anointed, so I ask that you would anoint my lips, anoint every ear listening, anoint those who are watching online. Holy Spirit, I thank you for flooding every home with your presence. Holy Spirit, we invite you here. Flood this room with your presence. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking. You are the teacher. You bring us into all truth. So I thank you for opening our hearts today, opening our minds today, that we would walk right into truth, that you would lead us right into truth. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. We're going to start this morning in Joshua chapter 6, verse 8. I don't know if you saw the correlation in the worship songs today, but we sang about walls crumbling a lot this morning. Way to listen to the Holy Spirit, bro. We are talking and starting today with the Battle of Jericho in Joshua chapter 6. So in Joshua chapter 6, what has already happened is, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, the commander of the Lord's army came to Joshua and said, dude, okay, this is the APV, this is the Aaron paraphrase version, dude, you're going to go, it's going to be awesome, walk around, everything's going to crumble, booyah. That was the APV, all right? So, yes, I actually said booyah. I know, that's horrible. It's Father's Day, I'm allowed. Yeah, that's it. That's right. That was it. I just used it up for the year. It's all gone. Absolutely. That was it. All done. So in Joshua chapter 6, we are at the part of the story where they have gone. They have walked around Jericho, and they have walked around once. And now here's the greatest miracle of the Battle of Jericho, I personally feel. The greatest miracle that took place in the Battle of Jericho was keeping all those people quiet. Like, think about that. Like, they had to march around quiet. They didn't talk. They didn't, man, some of you can't wait 3 seconds before going to your neighbor and saying something, right? And they walked around the entire city without a peep. That's pretty cool. So they did that for 6 days. Let's read the story. Here we are on the second day, and the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp, so they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only, they marched around the city 7 times, and the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. This is amazing. They had the victory shout before they had the victory. They shouted in victory before the battle was won. Say before. Before. One more time. Before. This is the key for everything we're talking about today. Breakthrough before the battle. That Joshua and the people of Israel shouted before they got the victory. All right? Now, I am not an English major. My wife loves and thrives off the subject. Matter of fact, her and Eric are both kindred spirits in that way. And if you have ever been in a group text with my wife and Eric DeLolio, you, thank you, Zach, the worst. You had better get your grammar in order, my friend. Because if you don't, it will be pointed out. All they want is for a grammarly perfect world. It's not too much to ask. Grammatically, see? 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 I tested you. You couldn't resist. I tried to get away with that one. You know why? Because I get advertisements like all the time. Grammarly will help you. Isn't that ironic? I'm totally off my message at this point. That Grammarly messed up my grammar. Just saying. Okay. Yes, move on. It's Father's Day. That was two. All right. So here we are. Back to grammar. Fortunately, we can't move on yet. Shout, for the Lord has given. Now, I'm smart enough to know this much. Has given is past tense. It is not a present progressive. It is past tense. That's important. Present progressive means that it is occurring and will continue to occur. It's not in the future. It's not someday in the sweet by and by. He says here, for the Lord has given. It's already yours. Why are you shouting, Israel? Because this city that's standing in front of you with walls so thick that they have chariot races on top, this city that seems immovable, that seems impenetrable, you've got to shout. Because, why? Because God has already given it to you. It may not look like it, it may not feel like it, it may not seem like it, but that's got nothing to do with how well you shout. Shout, for the Lord has given, past tense, you the city. Why does that matter? Because if you and I are waiting on God to do something, we pray and we proclaim and we decree very differently than if we pray and decree and proclaim from a place of victory than from a place of looking for God to do something that isn't done yet. Faith rises when you know it's already been paid for. Faith rises when you know God has already completed it, that you're not waiting on him. That's huge. Say that with me. I'm not waiting on God. I just got to agree with what he's already done. Oh, we're not waiting on God. He said it is finished. It's already finished. It is already finished. You and I have the privilege and, yea, the honor of walking in the completed work of Jesus Christ. Everything was taken care of at the cross. Everything. So, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Verse 20, so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened. When the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Say flat. Flat. Think about that with me. These walls were so thick. These walls were so thick that they had chariot races on top, and yet God says, the word of God says that they fell down flat. So I don't know if they just went straight down into the ground, or if when they fell, and you know they didn't fall out because they didn't crush any of the Israelites. So whether they fell in or whether they fell down, no matter how you look at it, the word of God says they fell flat. You know how I know? Because what says next? Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. The entire city was encircled by the Israelites, and every person right where they were just went in. The city was completely surrounded, and when those walls fell down, everyone just went in immediately. What a miracle. What a miracle. So they had experienced their breakthrough, but they had already praised for the breakthrough. They had already shouted in victory before they saw their victory. Let me say that again. They already shouted in victory before they saw their victory. Proverbs 18, verse 20 says this. It says, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. Isn't that ironic? From the fruit of your mouth, your stomach is filled. Isn't that backwards? Isn't it what goes into my mouth fills my stomach? And yet this verse says the exact opposite. From the fruit of my mouth, my stomach is filled. What am I saying about my life? What am I saying about my finances? What am I saying about my needs being met? Am I agreeing with God, or am I being contrary to what he is trying to do? Am I cursing what God is trying to do in my life, or am I adding my amen to his yes? From the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. Isn't that incredible? The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. For life or for death, either way, we choose. We choose. I hope you're choosing well. I hope you're choosing well, because you can. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says this, because really what it comes down to is salvation works this way. This is how salvation works. You got saved on this very simple principle. You ready? When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Sounds like before, doesn't it? When we were helpless, before Christ died, okay? Died for sinners. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. How many of you were alive when Christ died? Oh, good. We don't have anyone over 2,000 years old. I'm so glad to see that. Dylan, you were? Awesome, bro. So here we have this simple truth. It took place before you needed it. It took place before you needed it. So it was available the second you were born. Salvation was already available. Matter of fact, for your parents before you, salvation was available. For their parents before them, salvation was available. But how does someone enter into salvation? How does the availability of salvation become their own? Because without this process, you don't get to partake in what is available, in what is already done. You have to partake in this process. Revelation 3:18. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Okay, now, I love how the end of the book talks about this. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Those whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain. From when? From the foundation of the world. See, you thought Jesus died 2,000 years ago. In God's reality, Jesus was slain before the foundations of the world. So let's go back. Is there any single person who has ever been created or born? That includes Adam and Eve. That Jesus was not already previously slain for? The answer is no. Every single person on earth is covered under this one covenant. Isn't that amazing? He was slain from the foundations of the world. Before God even created Adam, he already had the answer. That is amazing. You know what? He's already got the answer for you too. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So here's how this works. It's available. It's been available. But how do you get to actually partake and participate in what Jesus has done? Here it is in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, say with your mouth, okay? So that's something you have to do. You have to declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Not just randomly, that he is Lord of all, that he is my Lord, that I am submitting my life to him. He is my Lord. Jesus is the Lord. I am giving up lordship. I am no longer serving any other Lord that I have served before in my life. Jesus is Lord. We declare that with our mouth, but that's not it. It says, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So you have to believe and you have to declare. You have to believe and you have to declare. God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess and are saved. These two work together, hand in hand. The belief on the inside, followed by the declaration of what you believe. The belief on the inside, followed up by the declaration of what you believe. This is how you got saved. This is how you were born again. Jesus was available long before you were born, long before you got saved. From the moment you were born, he was available, but you didn't get to partake until you believed and you professed with your mouth. It was available. He was available. How many of you got saved in your teens or younger? All right, how about, way to go. How many of you got saved in your 20s or younger? How about your 30s or younger? Your 40s or younger? Your 50s or younger? How many of you are saved? Amen. There we go. For those of us that didn't get saved till much later in life, I got born again when I was a month before my third birthday. I remember the event vividly. My mom had asked me to memorize the 23rd Psalm because I was memorizing TV commercials. And I put it to good use. I was, you know, she said, quote the 23rd Psalm. So I, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And I was like, Mom, is God with me even when I play with my toys? Well, okay, so valley of the shadow of death, check. What about toys? And she said, well, he can be. If you pray and ask him in. And I said, well, I want God with me all the time. So a month before my third birthday, I asked Jesus into my heart. Some of you that didn't ask Jesus into your heart till your 40s or your 50s, you know what? My life has not been perfect. I have not followed God my entire life. I have strayed. But each and every one of us, no matter when we came to Christ, he was still available and right there our entire lives. In my years when I backslid and really turned my back on God, you know, he never left me. He was always there. He was the same God. He was just as available. He was just as present in my life as he ever was, but I was not partaking in relationship. I was not enjoying the fruit of a relationship with God because of me. Because I was not believing and I was not confessing. I was choosing to turn my back on God in those seasons. Dumb me. But was he still available? Yes, he was always available. So this is how salvation takes place. When you believe and declare. Say with me, say believe and declare. Same thing, confess, declare, it means the exact same thing. When you believe and you declare, then you get to partake in something that was already available to you. We had to respond to God's love. We had to respond to his faithfulness. It was up to us, wasn't it? So let's go back to the story of Jericho. They marched around that city and they screamed victory at the top of their lungs. But God said, I have given you. Past tense. It was already available to them, but they had to believe and declare. They had to believe and declare. This is crazy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, that's the wrong word. This is remarkable. It is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Colossians chapter 2, ready? Your whole life works this way. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, therefore as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, how did you do that? You believed and you declared. You believed and you declared. And what was already available to you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who was already available to you, was appropriated to your life. He was already available, but you didn't get to benefit from a relationship with him until you believed and confessed or declared. Colossians tells us, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. So walk in him. So continue in him. How did you receive? You received him by believing and confessing. You know what that's called? Faith. It's the spirit of faith. We just read the verse before. I believe, and therefore I speak. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your what? Faith. We believe, and therefore we speak. We believe, and therefore we speak. In Genesis, we have the story of Abraham. I'm not going to spend time there this morning. I want to encourage you to read Genesis chapter 17. When God called Abram Abraham, it was before, say before. It was before he had a son. Before he had a son, God changed his name and called him Abraham instead of Abram. You know what Abraham means? The father of many nations. God called Abraham the father of many nations before he had a child. That's what God does. He shows up when it's dark and he says light. He shows up to the barren and says father of many nations. He shows up to Gideon and says, hey, Gideon, you, kid, hiding in a wine press, mighty man of valor. This is how God operates, and it's how we need to operate as well. I have so much in my heart for you today. The spirit of faith believes and then it speaks. In Romans chapter, let's go back. In Romans chapter 4, verse 20, verse 22, and right in the middle there, it says, therefore it was credited to him as righteousness. Why? Because he believed God. He believed God. He believed God. God said, you're going to be the father of many nations, and he actually dared to believe him. And you know what he became? The father of many nations. Exactly as God said. But see, Abraham had a part in that. He had to respond in faith. He had to respond. And so it was credited to him as righteousness. When did righteousness get put in Abraham's account? Once he believed. What is missing from your account that maybe, just maybe, is already available to you? And because you're waiting for God to do it, you're not believing that he did do it. Because he said on the cross, it is finished. It is finished. You experience, every one of us, experience what is already available when we first, say first, when we first believe and declare. We get to partake and experience what is available to us when we believe and declare. We get to experience what is available to us when we believe and declare. It's not until we believe and declare that we get to partake in what has already been made available. Jesus was available your whole life. And you did not get to partake in salvation until you believed and confessed. It's how the kingdom of God works. So, ready? Matthew 12:36. Jesus here is speaking to the Pharisees. Now, I know you guys are not Pharisees. But it bears repeating so we can learn a valuable lesson. Amen? Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, you brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from a treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must, say must, give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. That word there in the Greek is exactly what it's translated, idle. It means unproductive. We must give an account for every idle word we speak. Why? Because we've been made in God's image and his likeness. He is a speaking spirit who uses every word to create. Every word. God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Everything he says comes to pass. And we've been made in his image and in his likeness. So we have the responsibility to decree and declare what he says, to be in agreement with what he is speaking over your life. So what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you believing and confessing? What are you saying? You ready? Here's a list. What are you saying about your spouse? Oh, they'll never get it right. You know what? You're right. Oh, they'll never grow up. You know what? You're right. Because what we believe and confess is what we get to partake in. We can either partake in what God has already done, or we can create. Remember, out of the words of our mouth, we eat the produce of our life. Again, that was the APV. What about our governor? Whichever you governor you're from, New York or New Jersey, what do you say about your governor? What could we say about our governor? Yes. What about your town? Oh, this town stinks. What about your kids? I'm so done with them. They may never get this right. Are you following me? What are we saying about our finances? Oh, we don't have enough to meet ends this month again. What are we saying about our job, about your boss, about our nation, about our president, about your future? Because everything in the kingdom of God works this way. What you believe and you decree makes all the difference in the world. Some of us might just need some crop failure today. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus, that we have the capacity to jump on board with you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Would you just stand to your feet this morning? We're just going to decree and declare over our lives, over our family, over our situations. Father God, I'm going to ask you to just repeat after me. We're going to decree and declare together. Father God, I thank you for my life. I'm blessed. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Everything I put my hands to prospers. I say that my spouse is blessed, even if I don't know them yet. Lord, I thank you. Our governor is blessed. Oh, that was not very convincing. What are you going to speak? Our governor makes great choices. He's anointed to lead. We thank you, God, for his salvation. Perfect laborers come across his path and minister salvation unto him. Thank you for my town. It's blessed. It's only getting better. Every day, my town is better and better. I thank you for my kids. They walk in the admonition of the Lord. They are anointed. They are wonderful. They make good choices. They make great decisions. My finances are blessed. My bank account's full. I have more than enough to meet my needs. So much so, I'm looking for people to give to because I am so blessed. My job is blessed. I bring value. I add. My job is blessed because I'm there. My coworkers are wonderful. They treat me well. I treat them well. My boss rocks. He is anointed to do his job or her job. I thank you for our nation. We are not racially divided. We are unified. We are one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I thank you about my future. It is secure. I have nothing to fear. Death's already defeated. Hell, death, and the grave are defeated. Heaven is my dwelling place and my eternal home. I have nothing to fear. My future is bright. It's only looking up from here. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hallelujah.
You do not get to participate in what is already available to you until you first believe and then declare. It's available, but you've got to get on board with God, not the other way around. He has already moved heaven and earth. He gave Jesus for you. Maybe you're here today in this room or maybe watching online. We've been talking about this relationship with Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, an innocent man. He came as God, lived a life, perfect life as a man, and then died an innocent man on the cross. He paid the price for you and for me. My sins were horrific. Your sins are horrific. We could not pay the price because the penalty for sin is death. So Jesus stepped in and he paid the price so that we could be reunited with our Father who art in heaven, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that adoption is available by doing exactly what we said today, by believing and confessing. Maybe you at home have never made that declaration. You never put your faith in Jesus before. Today's your day. Maybe you here are in the same category. We're just gonna pray. Maybe you once, like I spoke about today, that I got born again when I was a little boy. But there's a time when I fell away from God. I followed my own path instead of his. I needed to come back to Jesus. Maybe you're in that same situation today. Let's pray. Maybe you've already prayed. Would you just pray along those who may be praying for the first time? Dear Jesus, I put my faith in you. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. And the Father, the good Father, Father God, raised you from the dead so I could have new life with you. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. I give you my life. Jesus, you are my Lord. I ask that you would adopt me into your family. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe you came back to Jesus, would you just shout us out on an email and contact at passionchurches.com, or even on the bottom where you're watching right now, let us know that you made that decision. If you're in here and you made that decision today, man, would you just grab me? We'll be around. My wife and I will be around. Just let us know that you made that decision today. We want to pray with you. God bless you. God keep you. He is faithful. He is more than enough. Whew. It's already done. We just have to believe and we have to confess or declare. I had such an amazing experience this week with this process of I was not enjoying the fullness of all that God paid for until I believed and I confessed. I'll tell it to you in the next couple weeks. God bless you. He is faithful to you. You are dismissed.